Testing, testing. Testing 1, 2, 3. Director's commentary. Not director's commentary. Just commentary, really.
Yeah, just people talking.
Oh, who's that little cheeky chappy? Whose voice is that just piped up?
Hello, I'm Robin Ince, and I was your support act, wasn't I?
Yeah.
For the whole tour.
I'm Ricky Gervais, and there's the sun just rising over the globe. Planet Earth. My favourite planet, probably. Universal.
It's weird, it's so big, isn't it? And yet you've never travelled more than 2 miles from your house.
So I'm looking forward to this. I've heard it's at the Palace Theatre. It's a great theatre. Where Les Mis was on. And then, look, there's a little homage to it. That little picture of me. It said, less miserable. Little pun.
Oh, yeah. That's...
Little pun.
Quite a casual audience you've got, haven't you? Oh.
Little film at the beginning. I'd like to give value for money.
Also, it means that you don't have to be on stage as long because you get tired quite easily.
It saves 4 minutes of me standing up.
The Houses of Parliament.
It's good because if you look at your face, you can see that you obviously had to get up at 9 a.m, which was the earliest you did. Look at your eyes, almost closed. You can't understand what you're doing out and about at 11 a.m.
Knocking those people in the background. They don't know what I'm doing.
Transport.
Simon, the engineer, did this tune for me.
NHS. What was the tune? You had a different tune when it was live.
Well, we couldn't clear. I wanted Crosstown Traffic, and I couldn't clear that. Then I wanted Audio Slave, and they said no.
So the next time you're walking around your town, open your eyes and see the politics that... Sorry, mate.
Oh, there we go.
Actually, this illustrates my point.
Audience are over the moon immediately, aren't they? They're going brilliant. We come to see Ricky Gervais' first wheelchair joke, and he's not even on stage.
Egyptian by birth.
Egyptian.
And that's, of course, Asha Taller, isn't it? The producer from...
Yep.
So you're wearing a fez?
No, I'm all right.
Let's get him a fez.
Not wearing a fez.
No, just pop a little fez on.
I'm not wearing a fez.
Really good, mate.
I'm not wearing a fez.
I'm not wearing a fez.
I'm not wearing a fez, pal.
So...
I was getting some very strange looks that day when I was grabbing him around and pulling him by the...
People who knew him were cheering, though, weren't they? Now, I've got to ask you, was that his own fez? Because I remember we once worked in his bedroom, and he does actually own a fez, doesn't
he? But he couldn't find it. That's actually... That's Jane's. I think it's a toy fez. I think it's like a tourist fez. Because it's... Yeah.
Because his fez is a proper traditional fez, isn't it? Made of thick felt.
Yeah, I think it's slightly higher quality than that, but he couldn't find it.
You're not right, please. You're not right. Come on, you're not right, mate.
Let me just have a look.
Get off.
Let me have a look what it looks like.
Fuck off. Come on, mate. Fuck off. Come on.
Love it back now. Do you know that one off the BBC iDents?
Yep.
Wow. Just think, just behind us there's people making decisions that can affect the world.
When you were sitting in that wheelchair, did you begin to think, maybe I'll get one of these? Because you are a lazy man.
No, it's too small and uncomfortable. I'd have a much bigger one than that.
Please welcome to the stage, Ricky Gervais.
You didn't skip this time, which I felt was disappointing. Do you remember on the Animals one, you did a little skip when you came out? I think a lot of the audience liked that. I don't know why you skipped, but it was a lovely little skip.
It's to show that I'm fit. You know, like, if there was lions around, they'd say, well, let's not go for him, he's quite fit, because that's what antelopes do. They bounce and skip to show that it's not worth chasing them. And that's what I do when I go out there. So if I say something offensive, at the beginning I just show them that I can skip and they won't chase me out the theatre.
Was that why Animals was a bit shorter? Because of the early skipping meant you couldn't go beyond 58 minutes?
Yeah.
In fact, he's looking for a girlfriend and wanted me to sort of do a shout-out for any prospective wives. How can I big him up? The sex is shit, but you can park up right next to Tesco's.
If anyone from Tesco's is listening, that was a free plug, so maybe just send me some instant meals. Not salads. Don't worry about salads.
Nice to see as well, two thumbs up early on.
There's a lot of product placement in this. I'm drinking from a can of Carling, one of the finest beers in the world.
They fucking love that, don't they? They can't get enough of that. It's lovely. Oh, hell. You all right there? That is high, isn't it? I did the Royal Albert Hall last month, and that's fucking scary. But that was good, actually, because that was a charity event. And I don't do enough for charity. I do a bit, but you can always do more. Mm. But I look at it like this. It's a pain, isn't it?
That's why I like it. It is like Mark Thomas, because you are genuinely telling the truth. I remember when we walked past a bloke with one of those luminous tabards the other day. I think it was for children who were poorly. Yeah. You had to take a detour because you were furious. You worried you'd have to get £3 a month.
And the way they sort of like strategically stand at crossroads and stuff, so there's like seven of them. You have to go way around the houses to pop into Dixon's without being collared. And I have actually been caught about seven or eight times. I just keep getting these standing orders coming through. I mean, it's only about five a month, but I am the member of about nine charities now.
That's the second double thumbs up there. You and Macca are actually the leaders in the two thumbs
Darkness
up.
Darkness now, they do one thumb.
Oh, do they? Yeah. I prefer the double thumber.
Yeah.
Like when you did that on Celebrity Poker. Remember when you were first out Celebrity Poker and you gave a thumbs up to Martin Amis? And he just looked like that was a bit alien. He thought he was with a truck driver or something. It was before you were famous.
I like to give the common touch.
Or spotted in heat. Gervais says no to Alzheimer's. So it's all right if it's for Alzheimer's. So I go, we did this a minute ago, mate. What's...
I've got a diary here, Robin, that you may recognise. Just to the listener at home. For 1 month, from September the 10th to October the 10th, 2001, I kept a diary for Robin. Didn't I?
Oh, yeah, that was nice, wasn't it?
I just put in all the entries that happened each day, and maybe I should read some for you. OK, this is the first one, just the first one. September the 10th, 2001. I called Robin. He was in a car on the motorway.
Can I just say that I think it is, just in case anyone out there is a bit uncertain, I think it is quite weird to keep a diary for someone else. I think it's not that normal, is it?
No, but now we can look back and you can I can remind you of all the lovely things.
Oh, yeah.
You did.
Yeah.
I called Robin. He was in a car on the motorway. He cannot drive. Then when I called him later, 11:46 p.m, he was on a train. So he was taken somewhere, then made to find his own way back. I was in bed. He was still on a train in the same clothes. Robin sleeps in his glasses. Once I went into his room, he was in bed with his glasses on. Do you remember that? All true. Once, first thing.
Well,
in the morning,
I mean, most of it made. We've got to remember this diary is mainly conjecture. The first.
Well, no, that is true. It was in Edinburgh. I went into your room. You're in bed. You had your glasses on.
Yeah, that's because I didn't sleep. I didn't sleep for the whole of that Edinburgh. Do you remember?
Is that because there wasn't a lock on the door?
And worst room, because it was the only one with a lock on the door, and I knew that you wouldn't try and get in there. Well, you did still try and get in there. Like, yes. When you try and get in, you know, when I'm in the loo or something like that.
Right, listen. I'm reading a diary. So.
Sorry.
Once, first thing in the morning, 10 a.m, Robin came to work writing at Talkback. He turned up with a big coffee. We got ours for free. Then he spilt it all over his genitals, testicle and penis. Do you remember that? And went mental.
Actually, it missed more
mental when I laughed. He said to Steve, "Isn't it fucking annoying when someone laughs at other people's misfortune?" This made me and Steve laugh. He kicked Steve's bag as he stormed out. Steve went, "Steady on." When he came back, we discovered he had kicked some of the tiles off the wall in the toilet.
It was
that?
A very badly made toilet.
Right?
Those tiles were quite loose already.
Yeah, it's just like falling
Griffiths
down.
Jones put those tiles up, I think.
He had to stay in his tight, wet coffee groin till 2 a.m. that night. He had a bad gig at 1 a.m. And that's the first day.
That well, what's was, the 1 a.m. gig that you've made up?
No, you and did. No, you had a 1 a.m. gig that night. You had to play an awful club on the 10th of September.
Yeah, but I went and bought new trousers. Don't you remember? I was furious.
Well, I don't know. So that's, you know.
Oh, this is good. Sorry, just actually a little bit of something about the actual show itself there. You talked about Dunstable. We had a nice... Do you remember when we went to Dunstable?
Yeah.
That was a bit of a disaster, wasn't it? Were we actually playing a gig in Dunstable? I can't remember.
Robin tries not to go home to his parents' house in Rickmansworth too often because he doesn't like hugging his father. Also, when his father asks him how things are going, Robin doesn't tell him. He just says, "Fine." He never tells him about all the unlucky, sad things that happen to him all day. I think his dad suspects, though. His mum knows some of them, but doesn't tell his dad.
Again, I should comment that that is mainly conjecture. The first bit is true, isn't it? That I did actually go home. But all the next bit about hugging my dad... And why would you imagine that?
Go on. Oh. September the 12th. Robin kept calling me all day to get the head of XFM's email address. I gave it to him and he sent him an email asking if XFM needed him to do a show. Then he had a drink with Ralph Little from the Royal Family. He met Ralph when he was working on one of the staff writers on a cable programme. I introduced him to the producer of that too. I also got him involved with MTV. Once in Edinburgh, I got him involved in that too. When we were doing Rubbernecker,
of Edinburgh, you rang up Edinburgh. is that Edinburgh? Ricky Gervais, you probably meet Ricky Gervais.
Once when we were doing Rubbernecker, Robin tried to get on Liquid News by dragging Ralph Little along. However, they were too late and Robin had wasted Ralph's time. So he invited Ralph to a curry that we all were going to that night. Guess what? He had invited Ralph too late, and when he got there, they had stopped serving. Ralph was annoyed with him again. Robin was embarrassed. Then we went to a late show, and soon everyone was teasing Robin.
That probably is true, actually, that bit, isn't it? What was that? I miss it. I'm not watching the show now. I'm just... Because the trouble is, sometimes now I do get confused with my own memories and what you've made up.
Robin's arms are podgy and very white. They look sort of inflated, so they have no shape or features like fat sausages.
Why would you... Again... Because that's how you draw my arms, but those aren't actually my arms. I do think it's quite weird now that I've got a stalker who's actually quite famous.
Fuck it, you get what you pay for.
Most people would probably want to be stalked by Ricky Gervais.
15th of September 2001. I called Robin early afternoon and he said he was going to do a gig tonight at Soho Ho. I went to see him. Jimmy Carr was on too. It was a good crowd and Jimmy was brilliant. Robin was good too, the best I've ever seen him. What a nice crowd. Robin didn't want to stay at the venue, so he went to the Phoenix Bar. I spilled some beer on Robin's leg when we were talking to Danny Wallace. Robin was furious and stormed off. Danny told me Robin always gets beer spilt on him, no matter how many people are around the table. We laughed about funny things that happened to Robin and became friends. Right.
Yeah, that is true. I do always get things, but that's probably because I hang around. If I'm not spilling stuff myself, then sitting with you, you're a messy eater, you're a messy drinker, stuff just flies out of your mouth.
Oh, OK.
What are we on? What's happening here?
Don't know. 16th of September.
Well, this doesn't make any sense. This is meant to be a commentary about the show. You're reading out this imaginary diary.
It's not an imaginary diary, it's real.
Do you remember... Well, right. I know the diary itself is real, but the contents...
That's
are
all real!
True.
There's no lies in here.
Do you remember when you read this out at that party and Mackenzie Crook eventually went, can you stop reading this out? It's really freaking me out. And you actually began to upset people because they couldn't understand.
No, they loved it. Yeah, but they loved it. When you went, they were worried it was upsetting you. And then we read it all. They loved it. Can't think I should publish it. Listen. September the 16th.
Except it's only 12 pages long. Who's going to buy that?
It's a month. No, shush. September the 16th. Robin stayed in all day trying to amuse himself. He sent me some text messages about having wet jeans and called me once to arrange sorting out the MTV stuff. He can't wait. It is the best thing he's ever been involved with and is so excited about doing some more. He started wearing suits.
Oh, sorry, did you just nail Thora Heard there?
Sorry. He started wearing suits in the day when he thought that was why Jimmy Carr got loads of work and was taken seriously. He soon found out it wasn't and now he wears a shirt and jacket but with jeans. I think that's because people always spill drinks in his lap. September 17th. OK.
I'm beginning... Have you seen the film A Beautiful Mind? Because I'm beginning to think... I'm sorry, if you haven't seen it, by the way, I'm going to ruin it. It turns out that Paul Bettany is his imaginary friend and doesn't really exist. But I'm beginning to think that I don't even exist apart from in your imagination. You've just made me up, haven't you? What a horrible imagination you've got.
September 17th. Robin came over to talk about MTV. He loves it. I hope nothing goes wrong for him. It shouldn't this time, as I'm involved. He watched Superstar...
Again, not entirely true. Quite a few of the things I've been involved with you have gone a little bit tits up, haven't they?
He watched Soap Stars with us and had lots of wine and one cigarette. He still tries to keep smoking, but can only manage a few a day. He had to leave.
Why would you say that? I don't smoke anyway.
He had to leave before the sketch show to go all the way to Ealing.
That's good. Can I just make a little comment now that you'll already notice a little bit of theme in politics, that one of Ricky's things, that the way that he nails a lot of people is, you've mainly so far gone for people who are disabled or dead, haven't you? This is... That is something you can notice if you're watching any of Ricky's stand-up, is you never pick on bodybuilders unless they've started to get ill or arthritis. No one who's taller than you, or no one who lives in the same country and might be good at fighting.
Right. September the 21st, Robin. I did a corporate gig today, and when I told Robin about it, he said, what with that and your voiceover this week, you must have earned blah, 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 blah. I pointed out to Robin that money isn't the most important thing in this life. I don't know if he'll think about it. All I can do is give him good advice. The corporate was near where he was brought up. As I went through the area, I tried to imagine him at 17, 18, going into cake shops and all the staff knowing all the filthy things he'd done by himself in his bedroom and toilet.
Again, this is a great diary because it says so much more about you. I mean, why would you actually... Where were you? I can't remember.
Rickmansworth.
You were in Rickmansworth, yeah. And you were actually going past Greg's the Baker's and thinking of what filthy things I might have done over some iced buns. Why did you do that?
I weren't thinking the cakes were involved. I just think you've been doing filthy things up in your room.
What, somewhere where Greg's the Baker, somewhere where they can look through?
No, but they must have known by the look on your face, all red, and you go in there and go, can I have a cream donut, please? And they go, what have you been doing, fat boy? And they go, nothing.
Your imagination of what baker's shops are like is just...
Right, September the 22nd.
What filthy things, anyway? What?
September 22nd, Robin told me all about the soup he had. Nicky made him go out and get all the ingredients. He listed them. Who cares? Things still aren't going well for
Robin.
Yeah,
why did you... Well, I probably didn't say that at all. I know what actually happened is you would have gone, what are you eating? What are you eating? What are you eating? And then eventually I'd have gone, some soup. And you'd have gone, how do you make it? How do you make it? How do you make it? And I'd probably gone, I've opened a tin. And then you would have gone, well, opened a tin or made it. And then it's all become about me making soup. So now you've made up already, we're only 15 minutes in, and I'm some kind of weird deviant soup maker who hangs around bun shops masturbating.
Oh, God. That you spent a week away, you went down to help some people. What is it? It's a...
The Orpheus Centre.
Yeah. I didn't get a lot of information from you that week because you were busy. What is that? What's the Orpheus Centre? What is it?
It's a place, kind of educational place. Richard Stilgo is one of the people who runs it.
Oh, right.
People with disabilities.
All right, OK. Robin, September the 27th. Robin has been working hard and sounds a bit grumpy. What did he expect?
Again, why do I sound grumpy? Probably this, the phone ringing every 15 minutes. What are you eating? What are you eating? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What's Ed wearing? What are your friends wearing? What are you doing? I probably wasn't annoyed with anyone else. This is one of the reasons I don't give you my home number.
What's this? Let's have a look at this. September 28th. I worked at home today, had a lovely lunch with Steve in the sun, then a cup of tea in the hotel garden near my flat. We knocked off about 4 and I went to Reading. And as I was sitting in the first class compartment having a complimentary glass of wine, I thought of Robin. I'm going to try even harder to help him. I would love to see his face just once, enjoying a little luxury. He deserves it too.
That's nice, isn't it?
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah. Then you changed your mind, didn't you, when you actually got to Reading, I imagine. I bet you didn't spill the wine down yourself, though.
Oh, God. Right, September the 30th. Yeah. And I think it was about the first person I met. Robin had a day to unwind when he had to go to Bath just for one gig. To make it worse, Steve Coogan loves Jimmy Carr and wants to help his career. Why don't things like that happen to Robin? He is so unlucky. But the funny thing is, I don't think we'd like him so much if things went right for him. So I suppose that's some consolation.
Some bumbling fool soup maker hanging around Greg's the Baker's. This is... See, the trouble is now all I'm doing is name-checking Greg's the Baker's, so you're going to get crates of beer and I'm just going to get a load of Danish pastries. Split the wood
on a bar. October the 2nd. Robin had to work on the Brian Connolly show all day. Probably didn't even meet
him. Can we skip that bit?
What?
No, go on.
All Robin thinks about is being in the MTV sketches I've written. I'm worried he's putting all his eggs into one basket. I don't want the responsibility of Robin's future, not to mention his agents. Whenever I see Robin, I find myself saying, don't worry about it, next year. I just don't know how much longer I can keep this up. Someone help him, now. OK?
This is... It's a really quite tragic little diary, isn't it?
October the 3rd. Robin had to pretend to be the Fonz in a shopping centre in Lewisham for money
God,
today.
Oh, God, I did as well.
Well, it's all true. They know
no, it's
true.
Not all
it
true.
It is true.
A lot of it's a lie.
What is a lie?
Most of the things, once they get beyond, yes, I was working on a show, Audience with Brian Connolly, which is the only audience.
No, it's my opinion, some of it, but it's all
yeah,
truth.
But yeah, you've kind of leapt into my mind as if, yeah, go on.
Well,
right, so, yeah, no, I was.
Robin had to pretend to be the Fonz in a shopping centre in Lewisham for money
today. Don't read
this
out, it's making me really depressed about my career.
Well, when I
say career,
when I called him after, he didn't want to talk about it. I've tried offering him money before. I offered £1,500 just to sit in my wardrobe for a day.
Hang on, that's gone down then. You only offered me £1,000 more recently.
No, but, yeah, I know, but, it, you know, peak time. Shush. I offered £1,500 just to sit in my wardrobe for a day. He said no. I think it was pride. Then he goes and does things a lot more embarrassing. I hope he doesn't stoop too low. So...
Yeah, you're right.
OK?
Because what is it now? Now I'm going to... Was it a glass box you want me to be in, or is it to live in your toilet? But you have to get out of the room if I need to use the toilet. Is that right? I can't remember. What is the deal now?
I think you're. I'd have to up it a bit, wouldn't I, now?
Yeah.
Because I've given you all these chances now. You're quite a bit...
I'm worried,
though,
as well.
You're going to be quite a big name after this video.
Even this worries me, because I think I'm going to become Jonathan Wilkes to your Robbie Williams. It's just going to be... just the kind of ulcerous appendage.
Okay. October the 5th. Robin lives in Ealing. He had to go for a meeting at the BBC. He loves meetings, but I'm scared they just get his hopes up. Then after he went back home, he had to go all the way to Crystal Palace for a gig. I would like to tell you that he wore the same clothes for the gig as he did for the meeting, but I don't know, I'm afraid. I don't put things in I'm not sure about, OK?
Yeah, but you do sometimes.
No,
sometimes.
No.
OK.
It's a bit of a touchy subject because... of the time he started wearing suits like Jimmy Carr and everyone told him he looked stupid. October the 6th.
Well, again,
6th.
There we go. No one was going around saying... And they were
at least don't tell you your face.
Yeah.
Right, October the 6th. I went to see Robin...
He wore a suit about once.
I went to see Robin do a gig at Soho Ho. He'd come from home to do a gig, then go home, and he brought a briefcase with him. Why?
Well, what? I said... He came and then went home again. All you said is he went to do a gig and then went home again.
Yeah.
You must have been tired that night.
So why, yeah. I said, what's in it? He said a newspaper and a book. He didn't see anything wrong with that. Then he waited around for ages after the gig for the promoter just to have one drink at the arts bar, then rush for the last tube. Fun comes easy to other people, but I wouldn't change a thing about him.
Right, yep.
October the 7th. What?
What did that say about anything?
It's a diary!
It's just exactly what happened to you. Yeah, I know, but if I kept my own diary, I wouldn't go, got bag today, put in case and book.
this is great. Right.
Where have we got to on this? I'm just looking...
October the 7th. Robin wants to come with us to Oxford to see Martin in a play called Comedians. We booked the hotel and asked Robin if he wanted us to book him a ticket. He said he wasn't sure when he could go. We've got a lovely hotel right next door to the theatre and the best seats in the house, and Robin doesn't know what he's doing. That's what I've been talking about for the past few weeks. He's his own worst enemy. I can't do any more for him. Can I?
Okay. But that's probably because I was working.
October the 8th.
You were furious because you thought Oxford was closer.
Alex Zane needed a comedian to do his club urgently tomorrow night. It's only £50 and it's in New Cross and 24 hours notice. Guess what? Robin said yes. I wonder if he'd turn up to the gig with a briefcase. I was having a drink with Alex when all this happened. Also, there was Jane, Duncan, Johnny and Glenn Wall. Glenn is a Canadian comedian. I hadn't met him before, but we soon got bonding... making jokes about all sorts of stuff, but mainly Robin. I wonder if Robin knows how many comedians laugh at him. If only they could all be at every one of his gigs.
I'm not entirely sure whether I want this going out. This is just a slow character assassination. So eventually, I know why you're doing it. So eventually, I won't get offered any work, and I will go, look, Ricky, about living in that glass box. And you'll go, well, it's only 250 quid now. And I'll go, well, I've got to say, yeah. And it won't even be a proper glass box. You won't have slopped it out since you tried it out.
October the 9th. Robin called me today because I had left a message
again,
for
him.
Again,
can I just pick up some of this? Because whenever you say it makes it look like I'm calling you all the time.
No.
Whereas, in fact, what it normally is incessant calling from when you wake up at 10:15.
Yeah.
What am I wearing? What am I eating? What are you doing today? These are the choices that you make.
I know, but listen, again, I've told the truth. Robin called me today because I left a message for him.
See? Yeah, I know, but all the way through. Yeah.
So that's it's all the truth. It's all the truth.
It's not all the truth.
It is.
It's limited truth.
Robin called me today because I'd left a message for him with Alex checking if he had bought a briefcase to the gig. He had. Also,
the thing that I find weird about that is Alex won't have even thought that was weird. That's just Ricky on the phone, just seeing what Robin was wearing and whether he had a case with him.
Right.
People should find that weird.
No.
What kind of shoes was Robin wearing? What? Yeah, he's just ringing up about what shoes he was wearing and stuff.
Also, he did a bookwormy joke about Hollywood making a film about the attack on the Twin Towers.
I didn't make that joke. That's a lie. No, I didn't make a joke about Hollywood. I can't remember what the joke was.
It was something about...
I can't remember what the joke
was. But anyway,
yeah.
Also, he did a bookwormy joke about Hollywood making a film about the attack on the Twin Towers.
Why is that bookwormy?
And afterwards, it was sort of snipey little bookwormy Radio 4 type thing. And afterwards, someone came up to Robin and said the reason we hadn't laughed was because we'd lost three friends in the disaster. I would love to have seen his little backpedaling face. No, I wasn't making a joke, he said. I think these issues have to be talked about. Yeah, like George W. Bush said, wow, it's been long enough, we need someone to speak out and get us back to normal. Get Ints on at a student gig. It was nice of the guy to tell Robin the reason why they weren't laughing. Most audiences don't.
What I find a little bit peculiar about that, though, is one, I don't remember most of it.
That's why I kept a diary.
But the other thing is...
That's the good thing about a diary. Now we can all share...
What worries me most of all is that you have a network of everyone you know who just go ring up with any Robin news. And was Alex actually bugged? Or did he record the conversation?
I don't know. Oh... October the 20th. We're nearly finished now. I went to see Robin at Soho Ho tonight. He was wearing, yes, you guessed it, a jacket and shirt. He kept playing with his hair because he likes the front bit to stand up and there are lots of people around. He drank water and Guinness, then had to wait around for ages to get paid. Just once, I would like Robin to get paid first.
I won't do as good a job then, though. If you get paid first, you don't get... No.
Oh, dear. October 22nd. Robin went to MASH with Will Smith and his friend KP. He was furious because three drinks were £12. He doesn't get to socialise in nice places much and he likes to save all his money for all the trains and buses and newspapers. I wish I had been there to see his grumpy face and his glasses all steamed up when he was being pushed around by tall people in trendy clothes.
That probably is true. I probably was being shoved around by tall people in trendy clothes.
Oh, dear. October the 23rd. This is not a normal commentary, is it?
No, it's not really. But the worst thing is, yet again, people will say afterwards, they'll go, yeah, but I mean, it must have been quite true. No smoke without fire. And you go, no, it's conjecture.
This is all true.
The first bits are true.
No.
Robin went to a bar. That bit will be true.
Yeah.
Robin went to Manchester. That bit will be true.
No, but these are all true. OK, October the 23rd.
Yep.
Robin had to... Don't say it like that. Listen.
No, go on.
Robin, October 23rd. Robin had to go all the way to Leeds for a badly paid gig. Luckily, he stayed in a bloke's flat for free. Otherwise, it would have been an even bigger waste of time and money. Tomorrow, he's got to go to Manchester for a gig with 99 other comics. It's an attempt to get 100 comics on one bill to break the world record. Knowing his luck, he won't get on the bill or he'll find out he was the worst paid. October 24th. Oh, see, the result is getting quite a... Guess what? Only 94 comedians turned up. So not only was it a failure and a waste of time, Robin probably lost money again. All the way to Manchester and back.
It was a charity gig. You don't get
all the way to Manchester and back. Robin, come on, please. Right, OK, so there. What do you think, Robin?
Amazing.
Yeah?
What's the end? Where does it end? Where do I end up? Destitute and in your cupboard, I presume.
No, I've only got a few days to go. Right. I don't know.
Why did the diary stop? I can't remember.
Oh, I did 1 month.
Where are we on to on this?
October the 30th. Robin came for a drink with me, Steve and Jane. He was embarrassed when I told Steve how Robin had basically ripped off his act, but he was too busy talking about MTV, a meeting he was having with London Live and a producer who liked one of his ideas. He was wearing a jacket, shirt, jeans, and yes, he was carrying a briefcase with nothing in it, but a book and a newspaper.
What was my brief... I don't even remember having this briefcase. What was this briefcase?
It's a good job I've got a diary.
But I don't want to remember.
Oh, this is a good day. October the 31st. I spoke to Robin today on
the
mobile.
No one's going to get this far, though, are they?
Why would you
get this far?
This is brilliant. October 31st. I spoke to Robin today on the mobile and he told me he was having his hair cut in the usual place.
Oh, God.
I went along to watch, but it was nearly finished. He was wearing a dressing gown and one of those...
Well, I wasn't wearing a dressing gown, was I? I was wearing one of those things that you wear to stop your hair.
Listen, I went along and watched. He was wearing a dressing gown and one of those heavy rubber mats around his neck. The hairdresser mentioned a product that would hide his grey, then touted his lovely little podgy neck. I laughed. Then she tufted up his quiff with wax and blow-dried him. It was £29, but he paid £34.
No, I didn't. I think, wasn't that the time I played 40?
That's the end.
There was a time where I was so embarrassed, but I couldn't believe... The one thing... How did you find out? There was one time you just found out I was having my hair cut and you didn't... I didn't even tell you. I don't know why I told you that time.
I know. I think I just went in there and you said, oh, I'm having a haircut there later. Then I went around to watch you. And then the next time when I called you, said a haircut, I ran down because I knew where it was.
Because she used to really like it. The moment she'd see you smearing the window with your little greasy nose... There's water everywhere now. Right, well, don't stop. Now you've got it.
Fucking soaked.
Now you've got it all over you. It's all right. No, it's all right. Keep going.
Oh, Christ.
So, look, you've sodden. Now you've got it. Right, so... had a little bit of a break there, didn't we?
Yeah.
You've had to clean yourself up.
It made me laugh. Yeah, yeah. Oh.
It's just the whole thing now is we're just sitting in the studio just covered in your spit and water. It's only a small amount of water, but it's on the telly and everything, isn't it?
Oh, I'm on
anyway,
the telly
no,
moment,
but she used to really like it. She would, because the moment you would turn up and you come in and you go, and that she would know she'd get at least a £10 tip because I'd just go, I'm really sorry about that. I don't know if you were in cahoots and you took a fiver out of that. It wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, it's lovely. Once, right, she sort of shaved the back of his neck with a little cutthroat razor and then put just talc on it. And it was, must have been so soft. It was already soft. And I knew everyone knew when Robin was having his haircut because in the window was a little novel and a pair of glasses on top of it.
Well, I thought, wasn't it normally that my little suitcase would be there?
No, you stopped. You'd stopped... I think you stopped carrying the briefcase round because everyone just took the piss out of you, all the other comedians.
Yeah, look at him with his briefcase.
Yeah! Oh, dear. Maybe I'll keep another diary. Well, this is sort of like a diary, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
It's a document of...
Because we've missed... I mean, we didn't... In the end, we haven't done that much commentary on the actual stuff, have we?
No.
You know, that's all right. The Brent bloke, that was nice. That early on bit where you talk about the bloke who shouted Brent.
Yeah.
Do you remember that night we had in that hotel?
Oh, God.
Why did we have a night in a hotel? Because we were going to Lincoln, weren't we, for a warm-up gig.
Yeah.
And I expected
this big splitter van like J-Lo would sort of go around in. And when the road manager turned up, I'd never met him before, Bobby, he had this little transit van. I was furious, wasn't I? And I felt sick and I was sliding off the seats.
DVD wouldn't work. Because the thing was, I turned up at your house and you were there going, And I turned to your girlfriend Jane and I said, it's great, in about an hour he'll just be sitting in the van going, oh, this is rubbish. And it wasn't, was it? We hadn't got as far as Camden before you going, I feel sick.
Yeah.
And we got, what was it, 20 miles outside London?
We stayed in the place near Luton.
And the van smelt of dog shit. But that was because you had, as it turned out, dog shit all over your trainers. And when I said, because when you were complaining, I was going, but you brought the dog shit in. You went, yeah, I couldn't be bothered to clean it off. And you'd had it on your trainers for a week. You said you'd had it on there for a week.
No, it was the day before.
And then we stayed at that hotel, the one that you talked about.
Yeah.
And I felt sorry for Bobby, because he was obviously, when he picked you up, he obviously was going, brilliant, I'm going to be going around with Ricky Gervais. And he was, you know, quite... And then I was just thinking, that night, when probably ring up his mates and they go, oh, what, night of Ricky Gervais, that must be amazing. What was the funniest thing he said? And he was going, I don't know, I'm just trying to weigh out what the funniest thing he said was. I'm not sure whether it was, for fuck's sake, pull over the van, I feel sick, or this is a pile of shit and stop drinking coffee when you're driving. He was kind of juggling up between those two.
Oh, dear. So, Robin, you've had a good... some of the best weeks of your life now. Just want to tell the viewers, not only did I let Robin come on tour with me, paid him very, very well.
Your shorts are getting wetter. How's that?
Paid him very, very well. Let him stay in the nicest hotels, didn't you?
Yep, yeah. Send some lovely hotels.
Yeah, sometimes free meals, and that free fruit basket.
We had scampi quite often, didn't we?
Yeah, that was... and he's had the, and he absolutely loved it. We went round Oxford, didn't we?
Yep.
York, lovely Lincoln. It's just the best time he's ever had. I remember, must tell you once, right? Well, this is when I sort of really wanted to sort of help Robin. He came round, it was near Christmas, about 3 or 4 years ago. He was never allowed to eat nuts growing up. And
again, that's a lie. We often had, only at Christmas, but we would have nuts.
But I bought him 2 kilos of sort of nuts, walnuts, Brazil nuts, and I said, OK, Robin, there you go. He sat on the floor, he hasn't got digital either, and he sat on the floor with his legs straight out like a toddler with these 2 big bags of nuts, watching telly till about 1 a.m, and then I looked over and he'd fallen asleep in the big pile of shells and it stuck to his face, and he woke up, he was sort of, his back leg was kicking like a dog, and he woke up...
stone-clad house, wasn't
I? Yeah, he woke up, and I went, oh, you're all right? He went, yeah, I've been dreaming. I said, what about? He said, I dreamt I was on a pony, and I found out he'd never been pony trekking, so I said, one day I will take him pony trekking.
Again, I mean, there's a certain element of truth there. I was round your house, we ate some nuts, but the this is what I did, because I know Carl said this, when you told him that story, and I said, that's not true, and he goes, well, why would he make it up?
Well, that was... That
but
was
it's not... Why would I... One thing I've learned is I would never tell you a secret, and I would certainly, if I woke up, never go, oh, I've been having a little dream about unicorns dancing. Do you know, I wouldn't say, oh, yeah, I've had a lovely little dream. That's the thing that I find most annoying, I think, is one... Because also, you were the one who fell asleep and you had one of your screamy dreams. You did. I was eating nuts and then you had a big Christmas platter of cheeses, didn't you? And Jane said to you, don't eat too many of the blue cheeses, you know what happens. You went, Jane, shut up, I'll eat as much cheese as I want. And then because you've been drinking port, you had a little snoozy dream and then you went, ugh, like that. Because all the blue vein cheese...
That's not true. He's trying to be all...
You do eat a lot of cheese, though, don't you?
Yeah.
That's not a lie.
I do.
That's what I've always found annoying, though. Whenever I've made up stories about you, what you do is, as quickly as possible, ring everyone and say the stories about me. Like that time when I made up that story, there was that thing about sitting on ham to get rid of worms.
I don't make up stories about you, though, Robin. That's the difference. I keep a diary, so I get my facts right.
What about the story where I supposedly drunk milk from a cow's udder? Why would I do that? Probably while, you know, not hugging my dad, another one of those stories.
Yeah.
And I supposedly put my...
Why don't you give your dad a hug this Christmas?
We're not a hugging family.
No, Robin.
We don't do hugging.
Don't get all uncomfortable. Don't get nasty. Can I just suggest something?
Well, I'll tell you probably why I won't, because I'll probably still have all the milk round my face where a messy cow's udder sprayed all over it.
Don't get
if
nasty.
If I'm not sitting on hand.
Don't get sarcastic. Will you do me a favour? I think it would make your mother's Christmas.
Right.
I think it would make Papa's Christmas. When you go home...
Papa. That sounds... Oh, how can you make everything sound so creepy? For Britain's favourite funny man, you are quite a creepy bloke.
Right. When you go home, you go back to Wixworth, right, in your mum's...
Sorry, I also don't like you telling a story while you're sitting still in your damp shorts. I find this really... You going... Anyway, so you be there with Papa, and you're sitting in these damp pair of shorts. That's really creepy.
Right, listen. Yep. So you go home, right, and you go, ding dong, press the bell.
We don't have a... See, immediately, technically wrong. Oh. We've got... Yeah.
It's nice. And your mother comes to the door. Hello, Robin. Go and say hello to your father. Oh, well, I don't... Go and say hello to your father, darling. Well, Robin, please, say hello to your father. And you go up to the study, and there's your father, just going through some Victorian... erotic literature, and that with a pipe, and goes, hello, son. Come in, boy.
I just thinking of my parents, you know. We got a bit of a treat for everyone. We bought Robin, you know, the thing he did with Ricky, and we're going to watch everything on it. Let's watch it now. So everyone will be there, all the remaining relatives, and they'll be sitting there going, what's this about? Nigel, we didn't know you smoked a pipe. Where'd you keep the Victorian erotic literature? We'd like to have a look if we could. Are they lithographs or carvings? Everyone's going to see this now. And then, people are going to be furious in the village.
No, and then just cuddle him, just hug him and go, Papa.
Papa, why? Papa, I'm 35 years old. I'm probably still worried about the dream I've had from eating all them nuts.
Oh, dear. No, so, just hug him and go, And when he goes, how's London? You go, fine. He takes his glass off and he goes, Robin? Tell Papa truth.
Tell Papa truth. What kind of dad have I got? Tell Papa truth.
I'm gonna die.
This is worse than when you saw me dancing with Sue Pollard. I think this is good. Stop wiping your belly. Stop wiping your belly.
Oh, Christ.
So anyway, so I need to give him a little hug and you've got tissue all around your face now.
Oh, dear. Oh.
So where have we got to now? We just...
What part are I in?
I don't know.
We haven't done a lot of commentary, have we?
No. Doing some of the mime work. I like your mime stuff.
They made an amendment to the accident report. My mate put, this story would be somewhat more believable if Safeway sold their bottles of sauce with condoms already attached.
Oh, I love Safeway. If Safeway are listening, I love Safeway. I love Tesco Safeway. I love Sainsbury's. Like Carling. I love...
Well, basically, you like any supermarket that will deliver.
Yeah.
Because you're not a man to put a pound in a slot and take a trolley round, are you?
No.
No.
You know what I mean? Shoving condiments up your arse.
It's
buy two, they're only 79p.
Again, this is politics, isn't it? This is always my favourite bit, the fact that... Because at the beginning of the year, you really did genuinely think you were going to write an hour on politics, didn't you?
Wow. Not an hour.
50 minutes.
Yeah, and then stretch it.
Yeah, and then stretch it, and then... Oh, that's what I love, just that politics up there.
My favourite leaflet of all time.
This is quite political, actually, this one, isn't it?
Yeah. Sort it out. Oh, this is true, this leaflet, totally true. So what I tell you, it's all true. The diary, they're there. The Robin diary, it's there.
Yeah, but by doing that under a microphone, just doing... doesn't immediately make it true, it doesn't make it fact.
Yeah. Leaflet about
safe sex. And it was aimed at... When did you get this leaflet?
I'll tell you what, though. Unlike Anne Frank, I think I'm going to do a follow-up.
Are you?
I think I'd maybe keep a diary. When should I do it from? What's your best month, do you reckon?
I don't know. I mean, you could probably do it during Edinburgh, during the Edinburgh Festival.
That'd be good. But that'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I might film that.
How are you going to film it?
Don't know.
Just CCTV. Edinburgh. Yeah, so you're going to make me live in a car park near one of those cameras.
I've got a great idea called The Shed for Robin. It's just a corrugated iron shed somewhere out in the middle of nowhere with floor heating so it gets up like to, you know, as hot as a sauna.
Is this because you want to train me to be your dancing bear?
No, and he has to stay in there. And there's loads of cameras and I give him some, like, bits and pieces to read and that maybe and some as many sweets as he wants and crisps and it's just a toilet in the middle of the floor.
Do you mean, when you say toilet in the middle of the floor, do you mean I'm allowed to just go to the toilet in the middle of the floor?
Yeah.
Not actually a hole or anything like that, just so it accumulates and you can measure stuff.
No, and then I just film him for 24 hours. I give him like £1,000. And I've got baseball bats and I can bang on the side of the door so it's really loud. Oh, little Robin Ince. We've been through some stuff together, haven't we?
Yep. The dreams about ponies, the sitting on ham, all those different things, the screaming. I think I've lost some hearing in the ear that you most often go, into. I think it's gone slightly. Number two. I might be wrong. I can't remember, did you pluck your eyebrows in this one? Because the thing that there's something about your face, because you know the way that you sometimes...
That's shiny. Look how shiny it is.
I remember, it's like the 11 o'clock show. Do you remember when you used to do that and you did it once a week and then there was only a 1 week break and it was in to meet Ricky Gervais. You went, I can't do that. And they sent you off to a health farm because you'd been working one day a week and you were just exhausted.
Yeah, well, you know, fit body, fit mind.
I don't think you dye your hair.
I don't dye my hair.
No, but you've got that slight kind of Paul McCartney chestnutty look to it, haven't you? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, my mum was a totally redhead, and my dad was sort of like jet black.
So it's kind of caught between the two.
Yeah.
There.
But if I had a beard, there's definitely ginger in my sideburns.
Do you think you would have a beard? Do you think?
No, I can't grow a beard really, because it just keeps going straight. It doesn't like. It's sort of like it's like a sea urchin. It just comes out, and it's ginger and black and brown and grey now and white. It just looks like an artist palette if I had a beard.
See, I don't understand why I've got, because I've got a moustache. Wherever I shave, I've got one of those horrible little grey moustaches. It's horrible.
Oh, little rubbish. If
after 3 days' growth, I look like a kind of Steve Wright impersonator. Really unpleasant. I've got to say that is one of the best, again, brilliant mime of coming on someone's back.
You've ever seen?
I don't think you made enough money out of spin-offs on this tour. I think you should have sold more things. I did like... You can do a shower cap.
I was going to say a shower cap with not in the hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's...
But I feel bad about merchandise. And they've already paid 25 quid. And then you try and sell them a programme or sell them a T-shirt or... People can make their own T-shirts, can't they?
Why not come into a piece of fruit, e.g. watermelon?
I love that. What's that? I love that little gesture.
Little walk.
Do a little walk, e.g. watermelon. That's what makes it funnier. What is going on there?
A bit rude, isn't it?
Yeah.
I need to know exactly what fruit. I don't want to get it wrong. I thought arses was all right. I was wrong there. I don't want to make...
That's what I like. You do give value for money, but I like the fact that you don't give them your time afterwards.
Well, I have to get away, don't I?
Number 10.
There's nothing I like more than seeing a sea of autograph hunters and you just going, oh, for fuck's sake. And the fact that they never... When we were in Birmingham and we had that little car chase, do you remember there were people...
Trying to sign an autograph out of the car window.
At a roundabout, people then following you going, give us the pen back. And it would be like a little black felt tip pen. Because they're thinking, well, we've got to go and get Marty Webb's signature around the corner as well, and we've only got one felt tip pen. Because you know if people aren't fans, I think, in Birmingham, you know when someone handed me... Because I would sometimes go out the back, wouldn't I, and collect autograph book stuff.
Yeah.
When someone handed me a piece of blotting paper, I thought they really haven't thought ahead. I don't think they're a big Ricky Gervais... Oh, yeah, we've got some office blotting paper from our office. Can you sign this?
I signed one once to eBay.
Yeah.
You can tell, I say, who is it to? They go, just sign it.
That's my favourite thing.
Just straight on eBay. Yeah.
No, this is number 17, number 19. I think.
That's always what I've liked. But I like that moment when you... Because you are... Sometimes you're a comedian who's a man of the people.
Yeah.
Aren't you? And then you see the people and go, who the fuck are these? They're your people. Oh, fuck.
Oh, dear.
You were signing Nightclub. That was one of my favourite ones. Little leaflets for nightclubs with ripped-off pictures.
There's often flyers.
Can he sign this office special, Women Free Before 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
Cheltenham Nightclub.
I've seen loads of unauthorised Brent pictures everywhere, though. And those worst ones are those fucking birthday cards and Christmas cards.
With a picture of a little fat man with a beard.
Yeah, a drawing and an impressionist doing me going, all right, yeah, how's it going? It's just,
aren't they musical?
Yeah, and they're 5 quid. And I said no, I didn't want them. But so someone else just says them anyway. So I just want to let people know then, if you see any shit and tat, it is nothing to do with me or the office. I don't do merchandising like that.
It forces the hand of democracy being heard. And there was millions of people on that march saying, this is what we want. We want the law changed. And the government, it was 1997.
So I'm getting political.
I like this. I like it when you nail stuff.
That's a referendum. Changed the law, and they brought the gay consent down to 16. I didn't see many 16-year-olds on the march.
You said you're not going to go down Old Compton Street anymore because you're scared of getting beaten up. Is that right? Because that was your one problem. When you started to do this bit of material, you suddenly remembered how many of them actually work out. Quite muscular.
Oh, what are you talking about gay men working out for?
Why not?
Well, why are you getting...
You're sitting in damp shorts.
And why are you getting all hot and flustered under the collar when you talk about it?
Am I?
Yeah. It's the same sort of fluster you get when you talk about hugging your father.
Oh, yeah.
There's something weird going on here, Robin.
Hugging my father or when someone's stolen my case and I'm shouting, where's my newspaper and book?
Yeah.
That's always quite annoying. Winning smile at the end, very similar to the comedians.
Did you ever used to sort of...
Mick Miller used to do that. I sometimes think there's a little touch somewhere between Fogwell Flax and Mick Miller. There's this little kind of... Because that's... I think because you've been brought up, you know, on a lot of kind of end, as we all have, at the end of the Pia Verratti show, Summertime Special, always that little thing, you do a hard-hitting joke and then a lovely little smile at the end. Do the smile. Just a joke, innit, eh? I like that.
Having two Jags. There's his... Do you remember that Conservative MP, Stephen Milligan?
Oh, topical.
Bag on his head, ladies' tights.
I have to say that, because I wasn't... You do, fair enough, you wouldn't let me talk about it, and I know why, but that has to be... Just thinking of that, one of the weirdest jobs I've ever done was reenacting the death of Michael Hutchins in front of Bonnie Langford and Nicholas Parsons.
Now, what was that called? That was the pilot show, wasn't it?
And that was... I don't think I've ever felt as strange as standing with a belt round my neck, miming masturbating, and saying... I don't know whether to loosen the belt, stop masturbating and loosen the belt, or just keep on going and help and hope.
What did Bonnie Langford say?
Bonnie Langford was a little bit... I think Nicholas Parsons was most upset by the reenactment of the death of Princess Diana. Again, I felt a little bit weird about that.
See, well, why did you do that?
I don't know.
It's just nasty.
Looking back, I don't know why we did it.
I was... Sorry, I'll just say I was not involved with Robin on the pilot show or in reenacting any sort of death.
Why did I do that?
Yeah. Terrible.
The worst thing is that now my mum and dad have got digital, they see a lot of things like that. It doesn't bode well, does it? That's probably why the hugging doesn't happen.
They get a glimpse of themselves in the mirror. Do they ever go, what the fuck am I doing? The first apocryphal tale or urban myth I ever heard was about masturbation. Not surprising. You hear those sort of things when you're sort of 14, 15, and that is a...
You went to public school, didn't you, or was it a really posh private school?
What it's
was
the it? Same.
Is it?
Yeah.
A guy called David Beasley, and I talked about him.
Yeah, I went to. Is David Beasley real?
No, it's not. It is real, but it's not his.
It's
real
not
name.
His real name.
Yeah.
They show you pornographic pictures.
That's one of the favourite things I like about working is the fact so that you do have a lectern on stage, so you can put a little script there because you can't be bothered to remember it all.
No, it's not a script.
I can do the same.
It's
as
not
well.
A script. It's an order, and there's also it's the stuff there as well because I've got there's flyers. There's a book. There's a little clock. It's not a script, is it? What would I have a script?
Well, a prompt sheet. I think it's a good thing, though.
Yeah. There's my beer underneath.
Death.
Oh, it's better than having a chair,
originally you started drinking, because I remember when we did Warwick and you thought you'd have a little drink in the afternoon and have a cigar. Yeah. And then you got one of your eyes swelled up and you felt all dizzy.
That's
you stopped
not true.
Doing that. That's true. What did you have? You had a little drink. Little cigar.
No, I was a little bit sick, wasn't I?
Yeah, that actually happened every night during the day. I've never known a man put more effort into trying to be sick.
And why was I doing that?
To annoy me?
Yeah.
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 Do you think Lincoln Theatre's cleaned up yet? Because one of the most unpleasant things I've ever seen is when you ate that big turkey fricassee or whatever it was. Then you had a great big chocolate cake. And then you sit there and you go, I'm going to be sick. And I go, well, of course you're going to be sick. You're really pushing on your stomach muscles and trying to make yourself sick. Yeah, I'm going to be sick. And sometimes it takes 5 minutes. And then this dollop kind of... It's like I once saw a tramp being sick and the sick almost came out. It was just this sick orange globule just kind of hung in the air for a while and then splattered. And you eventually... And then you go, being sick, clear it
I
up.
I saw...
How do you clean it? Sorry, can I just check? When you've been a little bit sick on a carpet, how do you clean it up? You pour Diet Coke on it and rub it with your shoe, don't you? Which, that's not something that Katie Boyle has ever used. Going, if you've been a little bit sick on a carpet, a good way of cleaning it up, pour a little bit of Diet Coke on it and rub it with your rubber shoe.
Although, what's her name? Gloria Honeyford. She does that advert, and she says...
Which advert? I haven't seen it. Which one?
It's about a bed. She says, someone says to me when I was growing up, you need a really good bed and a really good pair of shoes, because if you're not in one, you're in the other. Good advice, isn't it?
Yeah.
From Gloria Honeyford, spend money.
What's
on...
What's she selling, beds or shoes?
Beds, I think, yeah.
Inflatable shoes.
Oh, what other good advice? What other tips are there?
What would you do? What would you do?
There was a great tip once, I think, in the back of the TV Times.
Never wear your favourite shirt when sitting in a sound studio with you. Because if you're drinking any brown dye-based drinks, you'd probably end up with a little bit of splattering over them. That's one tip I would do.
Oh, dear. There was a thing in the Radio Times or TV Times once that said, avoid buttoning up a cardigan wrong by starting at the bottom and working up. Brilliant. What sort of idiots are doing their really jumpers
means,
wrong?
Because you can also start it at the top. What they mean is don't start in the middle. You're not going
to... Oh, dear. Vietnamese Buddhist monk. That's what you stop wearing button flies, isn't it? Went out into a
public place. Oh, yeah. Set himself alight and burned... Though the zips haven't been any help.
Did no good, because that's not a threat or a deterrent.
Which one's...
If a little monk comes up to you and he goes, you better stop all those things you're doing, otherwise I'm going to set myself alight.
See, I like this bit, because, again, I think this is a classic subject of one of your jokes. One, a monk, so likely to be peaceable, so not too much of a risk. Two, dead. There's no way he's going to come back. Is it?
Three, so, he only hurts himself when he gets angry.
Exactly.
So, it's the perfect part of my jokes.
I do like the fact that sometimes when you're going to do a joke, maybe even about a politician, you ring up beforehand and go, how tall is he? Does it work out at all? What's his temper like? Yeah, I'll probably do some stuff on him then.
John Lennon, form of protest against the Vietnam War. The famous sleeping.
True, that, isn't it?
He stayed in bed for a week with Yoko Ono, and that was it. And people were going, brilliant. Genius, that's excellent. And, I bet that little monk was fucking gutted. Hold on, what? Burn yourself to death or shag Yoko?
See, I was so looking forward to the time that Yoko Ono was going to be in the front row and you were going to go, I have to make it about Marion Faithfull and Mick Jagger. But it's not true, it doesn't matter, I'm not doing anything about Yoko, she's in and she looks angry.
Oh, dear.
He's saying what he thinks in C.
Well, I'd just like to say that, people like, you know, Bob Dylan. You know, I've got nothing against these people that I made a little joke with. Like this one's going to Boy George. Got nothing against Boy George. Like him. Quite like Culture Club. Just a joke. You see?
It's not being nasty.
It's not being nasty at all.
Because it's not, I mean, this is a character, isn't it, anyway?
Well, it's a persona. It's not really persona. A character. Like yours is a persona on stage when you walk around being a little bit sexy. And you go, yeah.
Well, I don't think I walk around being sexy.
Yeah, you try and be, like, hard-hitting political.
Well, I wouldn't really say that.
And then when people come up to you in the comedy club, you go, well, sorry.
Well, don't really do that at all. Why would I do that?
Oh, sorry, where's my dad? Where's Papa?
See, that's the trouble.
Papa, hug me, Papa.
I live in this kind of weird David Lynch
sorry, dear, I've got to go out. I've got to save the boy. The boy's being bullied again with the roughs. And he comes in the comedy club, right?
See, that's why I'm hoping to be as successful as you. So rather than hanging around the club afterwards, I can just run into a car and go, Bobby, for God's sake, drive! And put the coffee down! I don't like it when you're drinking coffee. Oh, do you remember when the ham sandwiches were late in Oxford? You were furious, weren't you? Bobby was quite worried.
Well, I was...
Even now, because you haven't eaten any peanut butter for about an hour and a half, your blood sugar's low, and you're a bit, feeling a bit tired and ill. This must be the most exercise you've taken in the last... Going out stage for an hour and 5 minutes.
Standing up?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Because you were going to do it in a hammock at one point, weren't you?
That's a good idea.
Yeah. See, Billy Joel, you're taking a risk. He's an ex-boxer. I'd probably cut this.
Hey.
Because it might get sold in America. Billy Joel's an ex-boxer.
I like Billy Joel as well.
Just a joke, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if Billy Joel's angry, don't be silly. Just a joke.
I like Always a Woman as well.
Do they know it's Christmas? And particularly
Piano Man. In Britain, because it's a good song, isn't it? What?
Oh, it's just like you actually have. I can sense now in your voice that you've got a slight fear. You're going, why didn't anyone tell me Billy Joel was a boxer? So I'm just going to have to list all his songs now and try to win him over afterwards.
Uptown Girl. Come on, watch this, Robin. Learn
something. I'm watching it. I'm learning.
Hello. Hello, it's Africa. What do you want? We're all starving and that. Oh, starving. Let me give you that phone. You should have thought of that before you wanted independence. Yeah, we didn't know there was going to be a drought. Drought? I'll give you a fucking drought.
Political. Yeah. Again, see?
And this is also a brilliant segue.
We had a hosepipe ban in Reading.
That's true as well. Do you remember 1976?
But what worries me is some people are actually applauding that, going, yeah, that probably was a bigger drought. It's like when we were in Lincoln and someone applauded the thing about gypsies doing Eden.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, no, that's not the way it's meant to be taken.
No, I know, yeah.
It's not really an anti-gypsies joke.
Yeah.
There was a government advert at the time that said, save water, Have a bath with a friend.
That's true as well.
I don't remember that. Yeah. But you're a bit older than
1976,
me. Yeah. That's what annoys me, is my friendship with you has aged me so much that someone said school friend. I was a school friend of yours.
What do you mean?
Be a bit weird, because you'd have been 18 and I'd have been 11. That's not the kind of friendship you should have at school, is it?
What, someone thought we were the same age?
Yeah.
That's because you've got grey hair and you've let yourself go a bit.
Well, do you think I should dye a chestnut like yours?
Whereas I keep myself in peak physical condition. Look there, it looks like I'm going to have a heart attack. Look at that monosodium glutamate and red wine coming out of my cheeks.
That's the weird thing, is because as it goes on, because you get quite shiny about halfway through.
Yeah.
And by this point, because you've got pale, because I think you should have behind that lectern just a little, some sweets or something, or little bits of meat.
No, it's not that. It's the fact that...
Because didn't...
Comedians don't usually... I don't... Obviously, I don't have any makeup or anything, but... They don't, but comedians don't wear makeup when they make a video, do they?
No.
All right, right, good, yeah. So do they all look that shiny, or is it just me?
I think you are a little bit shinier than most. You've got, but... Because Bobby
not,
in the
not,
first...
No, but what about... I mean, I imagine Peter Kay and Johnny Vegas get a bit of a sweat on, don't they?
Well, I suppose that's different, because they look like they're dripping with energetic sweat, whereas you have that kind of damp sheen of a Victorian corpse. Do you know what I mean? It's more like something you see in a Dickens adaptation, go, you know, Mr. Chiselwick isn't very well. He's gone like... Because you can see that if you touched your face now... It would be a little
slip
bit
off.
Kind of gluey.
No, it'd be more like gluey. Wax. Like an insect cocoon material before
yeah,
it goes
Yeah, some
hard.
Of your skin would come off, I think, in the hand.
Oh,
because Bobby did put... He used to put a little bowl of coronation chicken in the lectern and you just spoon it in just sometimes.
No, no eating on stage. I like to go out there.
Well, in fact, I remember Bobby ate some crisps, didn't he?
I could hear him eating them.
You were furious.
Kettle crisps. Really noisy. The bag was rattling and it was crunching.
See, my favourite one, because I know you're, strange enough, a very noisy man... The thing that annoys you most is any noise.
Noisy.
Were you annoyed?
I've actually did an experiment once. I was sitting by myself, and I thought, I wonder if I could annoy me by eating with a mouth open. And I went, and it did annoy me, and I had to stop. I can't stand noisy eating. People eating with their mouth open. People scraping
their
plate. Rattling. People who stir their tea. Like, you see them in a cafe, they stir their tea, and they stir it for about a minute. I want to go, it's fucking mixed! It's not going to get any more mixed!
But that's what got me. Is after that morning we had in Oxford, and you'd spent the whole morning annoying me, smoking your cigar and shouting and going, ah, ah, ah! And then we sat down in this nice little restaurant, and we just and this bloke's just trying to scrape a little bit of trifle out of his bowl, and you're going, for fuck's sake, when is he going, for is he going to stop scraping that bowl? I'm saying, you spent a whole morning... Because that's why, if you'd been eating those crisps with your mouth open and someone else had been there being annoyed, you wouldn't have been annoyed, would you? You'd have enjoyed it because you're inflicting uncomfortable oral pain on someone else.
Yeah. Oh, and that's why you get beaten up in normal towns.
What, for using words?
No, inflicting oral pain. See, that sounds really dirty.
Right. But again... A lot of things, like the image you have of me sucking from that cow's udder.
Oh, dirty boy.
Well, no, you came up with the image.
What will Papa say?
I don't even know who Papa is. That's all right.
Hug him. Just hug him this Christmas.
That is a funny sheen, though, isn't it? It's a funny colour to go.
I know.
Because I can't remember, were you annoyed, you know, about with noise? Were you annoyed when there was an aerobics class being held above the theatre we were in London?
No, it was judo in the Bloomsbury.
Yeah, did that annoy you at all?
Yeah.
Hearing people body slam against the floor?
Yeah.
Did you think that was off-putting for the audience at all?
Yeah, that doesn't really happen very often, does it?
They cancelled the flamenco the next night, didn't they?
And the blacksmith lesson.
Blacksmith convention. Look, come on, Ricky, we didn't think you'd be annoyed by someone shoeing a horse behind you. Why would that be annoying?
Oh. 29 quid, though. Well, that's the end. That's the end
of
the...
Did you get a little encore?
I don't think we have to comment on that.
But that's one of my favourite things about the encore, is even that is quite lazy, because you can't be bothered to wait for the encore, so you just wander off and then wander straight back on, thinking, I've got to go in a minute.
Well, it's pointless, isn't it? Why do comedians go off? Why save the best material? So that's not really an encore. I come out and sort of, like, thank them for coming and stuff.
It's more like you go and drink a glucose drink and eat a cube of ham.
No, I went and hit Bobby for eating kettle crisps.
Yes. Didn't you make Bobby actually come out on stage?
Well, to show that it wasn't me, because sometimes you can hear something and the audience can't, so it puts me off. And if I go, oh, what's that fucking noise? The audience go, is he mental?
Yeah.
So I had to show that it was actually someone eating a big bag of crisps, as opposed to me just going mental.
What kind of, were they kettle chips?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's silly, isn't it? Yeah. They are the crunchiest of the crisps.
Yeah.
So
he knows his crisps.
To be honest, I'm a little bit disappointed. I thought we were actually going to talk about Thora Hird, the way you nailed her.
Yeah.
Looking back, who did you nail in this? Let's say, Thora Hird.
Yeah.
Stephen Hawkins.
Yeah.
That bloke who shouted Brent, which is worrying because he's quite big, so he probably can't go back to Luton or Dunstable.
Yeah.
The who else you nailed in this?
That Buddhist monk who set himself alight.
Buddhist monk, yeah. Yoko Ono, 5'1".
Gandhi.
You should actually, you're like a kind of roller coaster ride. It's just have a thing. If you're taller than this, you're too tall to go into Ricky Gervais's routine.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed this commentary. It's, again,
it's not commentary, though.
It's an absolute waste of time. We've sat here waffling for just over an hour. I've read a diary that makes me look mental for keeping it. Right?
Yeah, it makes you look mental, and it makes me look slightly remedial as well.
Yeah.
It makes me look like I kind of carried around in a papoose by you.
Oh.
God, you look really... Now you look actually a little bit worried about... It's like after... My favourite time I've ever spent with you was after the celebrity boxing. Because you were so broken and tired that you couldn't talk and you couldn't make noise.
Yeah.
And you couldn't even laugh because it hurt your ribs.
No, I pulled every muscle in my body.
I remember, wasn't it... Jane was given a list of 42 things where the doctor's going, right, if he makes this noise, if you hear this sound, every single one, rush him to hospital.
They've got to do that. They're just so scared, aren't they, the doctors, if something goes wrong. But
that's what
we
I loved.
We were both fine.
Grant Bovey was fine. Grant Bovey's just at the bar, do you want a drink? And you were just sitting in a chair, unable to move.
Inflicted all my injuries on myself by just never having used some of those muscles before.
That was...
I went mental. I went, you know, like Taz, that cartoon. I went like that, but like the first round. The second round, I leant on him. The third round, I was going, get me an ambulance.
I was genuinely, I think everyone was scared. There was a shot of Jane where she's genuinely scared. And I remember when you first went in, everyone just thinking, he's not going to be able to keep this up.
Of course.
And Grant Bowie's face as well, he's there going, celebrity boxing, be a bit of fun. Steady on, mate. you look like one of those angry little bulldozer bouncers that you see outside a Leeds nightclub who just goes a little bit mental.
Oh, dear. Oh. Thanks very much.
That's my favourite bow of yours.
Thank you.
Little applause there.
Thank you. Good night. Thanks.
I love that because you go straight from the ever so humble, thank you ever so much, go, let's get the fuck out of here.
Oh, dear. Oh, well, there
it's
you
good,
go.
Isn't it?
Don't comment on the credits. It sound like, whose fucking line is it anyway? Who do you want to be? Do you want to be Richard Ranch or Tony Hawks?
Tony Hawks.
Okay, you be Tony Hawks, I'll be Richard Ranch.
So I've got to do it in the style of a drunken bet then.
I'll do it in the style of some... I'm hungry, I'll see you later.
Your blood sugar's low.